Hello, and on this Good Friday, I'd like to speak to you about the subject of essential work. The government's advised us, those that are in employment, as much as possible to do our work from home for the benefit of everyone. But where that's not possible, we are allowed to go out and do our work as long as we maintain social distancing. And that's created some confusion and uncertainty for people over whether they consider themselves to be in the essential work category. Also, of course, it has the potential of putting their own health at risk and compromising themselves in places where social distancing is perhaps difficult to maintain in the workplace. One area where there's no confusion though is when your work is considered essential. Doing essential work at this time outside of your home is not regarded as being unlawful, and that's because it has benefits for the wider community. So what constitutes essential work? If you go onto the government website, you'll see that there's a list of these particular key roles, but you can probably appreciate some of these already. Those things which are regarded as essential. Let me ask you a question. What if someone tried to stop someone doing essential work, or were critical or questioned them for trying to do it? Essential work like healthcare, for instance. Surprisingly, you might think, Jesus was asked a question on whether he felt it was essential to do work on the Sabbath day, the Jewish holy day of the week. He was asked whether he felt it was lawful or not to heal someone on that day. The Pharisees were the ones at this time who were asking him the question. But behind this, they were trying to discredit Jesus from his claim of being the Son of God. On this occasion, written in Matthew chapter 12, you can see he was involved in healing. He was involved in offering practical care for a person, a man with a shriveled hand. Jesus was, in fact, reaching out to the one who couldn't reach out himself. And he was reaching out in front of people like the Pharisees, people who weren't prepared to reach out. Actually, if you read the New Testament and the Gospels, it's a continuing theme when you see these accounts of Jesus in the Bible. There he was, trying to do good and essential work, whilst a group of people from the priestly ruling class of that day tried to undermine him, or alternatively were angry or jealous of him, as he found ways to overcome the sickness within society. I'm really glad that today people are reaching out, and everyone is trying to help meet the needs of those less able. If people need their shopping doing and can't do it themselves, would you resist doing it for them? Or would you question and criticise their friends who did it on their behalf? Of course not. You'd try to help out, and you'd try to reach out any way you could, just because someone else at this time can't. Jesus faced those who suggested he might be breaking the law of the Sabbath, the law of God that had been taken and abused in its operation, and turned instead into an excuse for selfish behaviour. Even today there are people who are prepared to bend, to stretch and abuse guidelines, laws, for their own benefit. People at the moment hoarding more groceries than they need perhaps, meeting up with groups of friends in their homes, going out into the park and sunbathing, or having a barbecue with friends because the weather's improved a little bit. Some of these people are even thinking of taking trips to the country or the seaside with groups of friends. And as long as we're prepared to live for ourselves, misery for others will result. But when we stop and begin to consider others, recognise as we've been shown mercy, so we try to pay that back to society, then the world will be healthier all round. Thankfully, as the seriousness of this virus increases, so our understanding of our own selfish actions are reduced, and the merciful actions of the many are magnified instead. Jesus spoke to those accusers of something he was reintroducing, as he said he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Something that the Pharisees should have been doing, he was doing, bringing mercy to the people. And that could be seen by his heart for the people. Jesus told the person with the withered hand to stretch it out, and when he did so, it was restored completely. Jesus reversed what had been diseased, and it was healed, functioning again. Jesus came to heal the sickness that was within society. Now, for this moment, that sickness might seem to be physical. It might seem to be pain for us as we focus on the attack of the coronavirus. We see it across the world. We see it in our country, in our neighbourhood, and its devastating effects even within family members or perhaps the lives of our friends. This reminds us that we are vulnerable people, not superhuman, but people who need protection, people who need deliverance, people who need healing, and to return our society back to what we experienced before this time does seem so far away, so out of our reach. We might even say this would be a miracle. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and have life in abundance, in fullness." He answered his accusers who said to him, "Go on then, prove it. Show your love. Show your care. Give these people this life." And so he did it. He did it by dying. Something Christians all over the world mark at Easter. Was it essential business that Jesus did on a wooden cross in a far-off country in the Middle East? How did his death over 2,000 years ago bring life to us today and to our society? We can seem just as critical or as accusing as the Pharisees were when we say, is that a lawful way to heal? Through being the victim of someone else's eternal salvation? Whose law are you fulfilling, and whose promises are you keeping by doing this, Jesus? The lawmakers of that land wanted to make Jesus accountable for his actions and to judge him, because he explained the law through action and showed his love to write a new law in the hearts of those who were prepared to accept him. It says in the Bible that through his death, that's through the death of Jesus, God wiped out the list of requirements that was stacked up against us. Requirements we were unable to keep. Laws we were unable to do fully. And once and for all, wiped out all our sins. The sins that we are very able to do, that we find very easy to do. These were taken away, having been nailed to the cross of Jesus. Such amazing love and amazing truth. So the truth of the words of the ancient prophet Isaiah became a reality all those years later at the crucifixion, which said, and by his wounds we are healed. The one who asked the man to stretch out his hand had his own hands stretched out and nailed to the cross of sacrificial death for us, because of us, and instead of us. This Easter will be unlike many others. There's no public gatherings in churches this year. Instead, perhaps, there'll be some silence before a slow, individual, awakening sense that new life has come through death, the essential work of Jesus for us, and then perhaps more appreciation of what Jesus has done will follow. I suppose it will be a bit like that first Easter Sunday when people awoke to find that the tomb of Jesus was empty, and the stone had been rolled away, and in them there was hope, completed, but not fully understood. There was questions that they had to ask, and there was faith in them to be realised, as the essential work had been done once and for all. Have a blessed Easter, folks. God bless.